Revelation chapter 19. Amen. This is what it says, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. In honor of the word of God, we stand up just to pick a text where we want God to talk to us from. That is why we stand up, because this is our national anthem. Just a tradition, it's not a doctrine, it's not a commandment, but it's our own tradition here. Amen. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Verse 9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And this thought came to me last Sunday. Pastor Thomas came here to tell us the condition that will qualify you to be wedded in this ministry. And he was reading it with authority and command and Allah, you know, by order. And it shall not be circumvented in any way. If you want to be wedded here, these are the conditions. What came to my mind is, the spiritual wedding that is going on also has conditions. It has conditions. Praise God. It has conditions. There are three symbolic women in the Bible. We have known that as members of this church. The first woman there is in Revelation chapter 12. That is Israel. It's addressed there as a woman. The second woman is in Revelation chapter 17. And she's described as a harlot. And the mother of all harlots. And the mother of abominations of the world, this earth. And that woman is also a church, but it is the false church. And by all description there, it is referring to the Roman church. The third woman, three women, God is perfected in three. Three women, the third woman there is Revelation chapter 19. And that scripture, that woman there is the bride of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the emphasis that we see in Revelation chapter 19 is that the bride has made herself ready. And what is it that has identified her as being ready? She is given a dress. And that dress is the bride's dress. Amen. And that is what we're looking at today, the bride's dress, because that is what that verse is emphasizing. There is a dress. Hallelujah. But even then, who is the bride? Before I go into that, who is a bride? A bride is a woman espoused to a man for marriage. And that man is called the bridegroom. Praise God. So, we are talking about a spiritual marriage that is going on now. And I want you to note something here, very, very seriously and very deep too, concerning salvation. When we talk about the bride of Jesus Christ, we are looking at the seventh church age bride. We are talking about the marriage that will take place, and this marriage takes place at the seventh church age. Interesting thing about this little exhortation I want to give is that it further lets me understand that we are traveling on the right path, believing this entire message. Every time we study, it becomes clearer and clearer that we are not following empty fables. We are following the right path. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What qualifies you to be a bride? Before you can be called a bride, number one, a man has successfully engaged you for marriage. A man has successfully, my emphasis there is successfully. Because the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is preached to many. The Holy Ghost is there busy looking for, you know, wooing people, meeting people, but how many has he been able to get their attention? And some have even come, praise God. Some have even come to him. But before they could conclude the matter, the bridegroom to be, we discover that this person is not faithful. Now every man is a follow. If you say you are a Christian, and then you say you have repented, and then yet one leg at the slightest sin, you are there in one babalawo house, or you are looking for some other means of taking care of yourself spiritually, you are not a faithful woman, bride. You can't be a bride. Why do some engagements break? It is because he has not been able to successfully get the woman. The woman is not the type he wants. He has studied through courtship. And I say the woman, always the woman, the emphasis says the woman, because it is the man that goes to look for the woman. It was Christ that came looking for us. We did not go looking for him. And that's why it is not proper for a woman to go and chase a man to marry her. It's not normal. That is not a marriage. That's not a correct marriage. That's a friendship, not marriage. Praise God. So, first, the man has successfully engaged you. Then he has paid the bride price required to marry you. You cannot be called the bride until the price has been paid. That's why we use the word fiancé. You cannot say that's my bride because you have not paid the bride price. If you are living with a woman, you call my wife, you have not paid the bride price, you are only in a marriage on credit. And it is not proper to marry on credit. Go and pay. If you are not paid the wedding, the bride price, Satan will use it against you horribly. Then, hallelujah. Remember, I said the man has paid the price required to marry her. There is the bride price required. The price, I say required. Because the man does not determine the price. The price is already fixed before you go to her. That's why some people, before they talk of marriage, they meet together, they will ask, where are you from? It is the price he wants to consider. Make I enter, make I not enter, if I afford them or I no fit. Where is he from? From where? Mbi say. Required. Amen. There are some of you that go to pay bride price. Then you want to dictate to the in-laws what you should bring. See, I'm a Christian, so I cannot bring alcohol. You lie. You will give that alcohol. That is the price required. Amen. You that you are a Christian, if somebody wants to come and marry your daughter, you are the one to say, we are Christians, we shall not receive this from you. We are Christians, this is what we want from you. But you don't go and say, we, where I'm coming from, no. You'll be light, there'll be darkness. Why you go meet darkness? Don't do that. Any church that teaches that is wrong. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Do you think that he enjoyed the kind of price he paid to purchase our salvation? See what he went to. Do you think it was enjoyable? All that he suffered. If you to go and pick a wife and you just go very easy and you pay that for that, you will not value that woman. The price that you paid is determined by the quality of the woman. If that woman, if you see the parents being very difficult to you, it means that woman is a very valuable woman. If you just go and the parents say, don't worry, carry, anytime you get money, come. They are anxious for that woman to leave house. Something is wrong. Eh? If you go, your in-law say, in-law, carry go. Hey, come back and ask your wife, come. Why are they anxious for you to leave? You sure you have not been troubling them? Praise the Lord. But if that woman is precious, the price too will be great. Praise the Lord. Now that's the truth. And you don't care wherever she is, you will go there and go and get her. Eh? If you see where I go get my own. Follow cross river. Enter river. Enter Congo. Wherever you do, I will get you. And I got her. Praise God. He left his glory. Came to this wicked world. To get you and I. It's because you are precious. We are precious. That's why he suffered all his own. So we are jewels in his hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then, hallelujah, the wedding day and the venue is fixed. After the bride price is paid. See, I am not telling you the story of how to go and marry a woman. I am telling you the story of salvation. So take your mind to the spirit and don't look at your plan to marry any woman. I'm only telling you something to make you understand what is going on between you and Christ. His church and him, the bride and the bridegroom. The day, the venue, the date is fixed. That is why, following that pattern, the time, the day or the hour, no man knows, only the Father, concerning the day of the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you that the bride will know the date and the time. We will know it. And that is why he told the seven thunders what they say. He said, John, don't write what they say. Because in there is something that only the bride should know. Only the bride should know. And that is what will produce a rapturing faith. That will make you abandon anything else you are doing, ready for home going. It is in there, in the seven thunders. In the seventh seal of Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. The date is fixed. Praise the Lord. Take note that the payment of the bride price. Amen. Amen. The payment of the bride price settles the marriage. Entitles the man to have you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When the date is fixed, Then the guests are invited to the wedding. Hallelujah. Take note. I want you to take note of this. That they now come to the altar to exchange their marital vows. Take note of what I want to say. Listen. Our brethren that stood at the altar and exchanged, Sister Choma, this and that. I take thee to be my wedded wife, this and that. Listen, the vow has already been exchanged between the two of them before they came to the altar. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That thing they are doing at the altar, amen, it has already taken place between the two of them because the vow is exchanged between the two of them before the man goes to pay the bride price. You will not pay price for somebody that has no vow to live with you under any condition. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is already done. Hallelujah. The day of the rapture that we are expecting, the day of rapture is not the day that your bride price was paid. It's not the day that you gave your life to Christ. It's not the day that you exchange your vow. The marriage has already taken place. The vow has already taken place between you and Him, Jesus Christ. So what happens at the altar is only an outward display for everybody to see that these two people, they have already exchanged their vows. Amen. And so they want witnesses. Amen. The rapture has not taken place. When the rapture will take place, amen. Hallelujah. There is the quick, short walk that God will do. William Branham called it the adoption. And he called it the bride's revival. That is what will happen at the seven thunder sounding. God is going to display a group of people to the whole world to see. The world will know there is a bride on earth here. Everybody will see it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. An open display to show this is my queen. I'm saying this because you can never go in the rapture until you have exchanged your vow with Christ. He has paid your bride price. And before even he will accept you, he has studied you. When he has studied you now, the man is not sure. He will not go and buy your wedding gown until you have told him. I don't know under where una they do that thing, you know, whether now for una travel, now for your household. Now for Mr. Bigso, now for one fast food joint, or Chinese restaurant, or whatever is the condition, you people sat down somewhere, and then the man looked at you, Nkechi, will you marry me? After, now don't cut, for some time, will you marry me? The girl can tell you at that time, wait first, I will marry you, but, when you hear but, do you understand? And that is the condition of so many Christians today. Jesus, I love you. I will serve you, but what? Praise God. I will marry you, but,
Ha.
Pastor, to marry pastor, no easy. Pastor, I love you. Pastor Ifeanyi, your church just start. What did they do? We go fish chop for this kind of small church. I don't know what they do. He say, God call you. Pastor Ifeanyi, say you go marry me. Ha. Wait first. Make I get my certificate. I won't go to school. Will he go and pay her bride price? There are so many of us that claim we are under the blood of Jesus Christ. We have even entered water baptism and come out. All you did was just a religious exercise. Between you and God, your heart, you have not given it to him. That is the truth. Amen. I love you, Shao. The sister will tell you, I love you. But wait now. Wait first. Some of you take Jesus Christ, wait first. I'm ready to serve you, God. I'm ready to serve you. But for this my age, make I can't drop trouser. Make I not paint my face. Make I not wear this one. Make I not wear earring. Ah. But I love you, Jesus. I love him because he first loved him. Where you purchase your own? So many of you say, blood of Jesus, speak for me. You are not under the blood of Jesus. He has not paid. Amen. He has not paid. That's what I want. I just want somebody to understand salvation. Because so many of you, your salvation ends in being a serious church member. You are a serious church member. Everybody in the church knows you, but Jesus may not know you. Nobody is going to the rapture because you belong to Bride Assembly Church. You are going to heaven because you have made yourself ready. Nothing beyond that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You give your life to Christ first. You agree first before you go for water baptism. So what are we doing at the baptismal pool? We are letting everybody know that this person you see here has agreed to marry Jesus. Before witnesses. That is what we are doing. Therefore, we put you inside the water and we bring you out. It is not entering the water and bringing you out that makes you a Christian. Before that water can be meaningful to you, you have already in your heart given your life to Christ. That is the person that when he comes out of that water, his life is different because there's a decision he has made. Come out of the water. On your way home from the water baptismal pool, you branch beer parlor. Did you give your life to Christ? You come out of that water baptismal pool, then you are branching. They close late, Shiloh late today. Then you branch your boyfriend's house. Rain the fall. I cannot go home. You sleep in your boyfriend's house. Praise God. You know, I'm happy that some of the things we say here, some of you listen. Yes, you listen. Because my sister was telling me on Friday that one useless man, where you get? When one marry him, a brother, but it's not from this church. Then wants to sleep with her. And she shouted, Kai! I told her, I said, Genesis chapter 3 verse 3 says, don't touch. She quoted it to him. So that means some people here, then they hear what they talk. Let's clap for that sister. Because the man wants to convince her. No. We're not going to have intercourse. I will not enter. I will only touch. Let's just touch. Let's just kiss only. Let's just touch. Genesis chapter 3 verse 3 says we should not eat and not even touch. Don't touch it. Brother, don't touch. The things that Christians should not be talking. We should go far beyond that in a Christian faith. See what we are descending and talking about. See where we are descending and talking about. Small time, you know, go see one sister where everybody know before. The next time, after a few months, she appear, you go see her webele. Sister, what happened? Pastor, I have married. I saw them marry for your church. Then when you don't carry the belly finish now, then he's coming back. Amen. We don't see you now. We don't see you. You are in this church. Nothing we are saying here has impacted you in any way. And I'm bride. Bride assembly. Praise the Lord. What is the identification of that bride on that wedding day? There are other women that will come for that guest, that will come for that feast. But there is something that you don't need anybody to introduce to you if you are looking for the bride on that wedding day. No, you don't ask anybody, where the bride now? Do you ask? Everybody knows. Because the bride is identified by a dress. Amen. There is no need to ask. And sister, don't tell me you are the bride. If I see you, I will know from your dress. Sister, don't tell me, Pastor, I'm a member of Bride Assembly. Don't tell me that if I see you, I will know. I will know. Amen. On that wedding day, it is she's identified by a dress. And that is why Revelation chapter 19 is emphasizing that very dress. There is a special way she dresses. There's a special adornment she puts on. And that dress is put on only on that wedding day. But that is the only day she is called the bride. And this is the day that the bride is produced. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember. Amen. I want to emphasize that she is not yet ready for the wedding until she accepts to be dressed. And we are using the example. There is an Eastern culture that makes us understand this thing. Remember, God started dealing with mankind from the Middle East. Somewhere around Iraq, where we see the river Euphrates. That is where that portion called the Garden of Eden. That portion where heaven was united with the earth until Adam could be in heaven. Another time he is here, God could just step in there, and they were just, you know, between heaven and earth on a particular portion. It was sin that cut them off from having access there. It's in the Middle East. So almost all their cultures all around there is typing something pertaining to God and man. God dealing with man. So it is the veil, that white dress that she wears, is actually an Eastern marriage culture. It's not a Christian marriage culture. Christianity only borrowed it because it makes salvation clearer to explain salvation to people. And it is not a doctrine. It's not compulsory that you have to dress like that to be wedded. No. But we use it to explain, make us understand what salvation is all about. So don't say you are going to look for mosquito net, wear white to sew, and then say you want to wedding gown. If you cannot afford it, come, we shall still join you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to also know that on the wedding day, the bride does not dress herself. Am I correct? Eh? She doesn't dress herself. All those who have done wedding before, my wife, we did the wedding. She did not dress herself. It is, there are always people around that will dress her. That day she sits there like a queen. They say, stretch your leg. Then go wear the shoe. Do your hair like this. They go do. They go put her inside. Then go do this one. One, they clean face. Another one, they make the hair. Another one, they do this one. Then she sits down like one baby when they take her. I think they sweet her. You know, they sweet her. And it is not one person that dresses her. You see so many people that dress her. Why? Because she's going to be displayed before the public. People are going to look at her, so she has to be appear proper. Oh, glory be to God. It's not even enough. There has to be one bridesmaid that will follow her in case anything happens for that dress. She has to repair it immediately, and then they follow the servant. She is special. I'm talking spiritual. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so who are those that prepare the bride of Jesus Christ now? It's the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. That is the job. And that is exactly what we are doing. Amen. It's God's servant that he has ordained. In the Old Testament, they were chamberlains that prepared the queen for the king. And they don't appoint themselves. They are appointed by the king himself. Because he has to tell them what he desires his queen to look like. What type of dress you should give her. They know the picture of the type of dressing that the queen should have. Only they have the mandate. Remember, Ephesians 4:11 ministry, he said, is for the perfecting of the saints. For the edification of the body. That is their job. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You cannot just come on the wedding day anyhow. You can't come anyhow. There's a special preparation. Can we read Ephesians chapter 5? Let's read from verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5. 25, 26, and 27. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why did he give himself for it? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle. Spots. So glorious. No spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Spot or wrinkle there is that your doctrine should be faultless. Your character should be faultless. Your faith should rest totally on him and his power, and his power alone. Spot. Hallelujah. That is what leprosy does. There's a minister here that had suffered chicken pox. If you see him now, see spots all over his face. Without spot. Now, that's not the type of spot Christ is talking about. But something happened that has produced that spot. Leprosy leaves spots. Every leprous person, the spot all over. And when you see that spot, what happens? You run, just like we run from Ebola. That is how people run away from leprosy. And when Christ turns and looks at you and sees so many comma in your Christian life, anger is a spot. Fornication is a spot. Lying is a spot. You are a drunkard, it's a spot. Gossip is a spot. He turns and looks at you and sees all these spots around you. No, you are not yet ready for the marriage, although you have agreed to marry him. He now will ordain ministers that will use the water of the word and wash you. That is why we speak the way we speak. It is our duty to wash you and present you spotless. And he said, without wrinkle. What is wrinkle? Anybody that is suffering from frustration, you see wrinkles all over his face. No joy, no happiness. Wrinkle. That is a life of complaint, murmuring. But something he will do that will give you confidence in him, that will say, what shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? In everything, we are more than conquerors. Whatever it is, whether it is peril, hunger, lack of marriage, lack of money, poverty, whatever it is, nothing shall separate me from you. You will not have wrinkles, no complaint. He does not want to have a bride that has no confidence in him. Faith. Wrinkles also describe also a crayfish kind of Christian that you are. Crayfish. Crayfish. The condition make crayfish then. You are a fish, but you are qualified. You are not an ordinary fish. You are a crayfish. You are a fish. Crayfish. Like Esau. Esau was crayfish. Condition made him to drop his birthright to eat food. Hunger, food, crayfish. Because of hunger, you bend your faith. You're a crayfish. Wrinkle. In your dress, wrinkle. Wrinkles all over you because you are battling. No matter how you wear your dress, when you bring it from the laundryman and you wear your cloth, you see chop. But that same dress now, with that starchness, now go and begin to do rough, rough, fight. What will happen? When somebody looks at you, you know that this dress has undergone rough, rough. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Without spot or wrinkle. So we're talking about struggle. You don't fight for yourself. Amen. When you have Jesus, you have everything. How many people believe it? That is the reason why he told us, if you want to come to him, be like a little child. Childlike faith. The child believes that his father is the strongest man on earth. And his father owns all the money in the world. In fact, anything he needs, the father will give him. He does not struggle for anything. He only cries, and the father cannot stand the cry of the child. He gives you what you need. My God will supply all your need. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But you live a life of struggle. You battle here, struggle here. The songwriter said, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Just take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. They say, Father, they say, if your body suffer loss, he said, if your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel, he can save and he can heal. Just take your body to the Lord and leave. Ministry. The church shall live by faith. This aspect, people don't get it. No Christian should suffer hypertension because of problems. Living by faith in Jesus above.
Trusting, confide.
In His great love, from all I'm saved, in His shelter, in
love, by faith. Oh,
I cannot. I cannot today what tomorrow may bring. In shadow. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worries.
His faith.
Hallelujah.
Living by faith. Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
Trusting, confiding.
Trusting, confiding. In His great love. Amen. Many of them come with two groups of people. Some come with their own word, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men. And what they teach can never prepare anybody for the rapture. That is the reason why we say the denomination can never produce anybody in the rapture for this age. Because what they do there, it's nothing but man-made organizations. That's what they have. The second group of people are those who God has no even call at all, like Ahimaaz. We'll continue from there. Can we stand up? I care not today what tomorrow may bring. Everybody.
Shadow or sunshine or rain.
Everybody.
The Lord I know rule
over everything.
And all of my worry is paid.
Hallelujah.
Living by faith.
Say, say.
In His great love, from all I'm saved,
from all I'm saved,
in the shelter,
in the shelter, in the
shelter.
Oh, I'm living by faith.
Oh, I feel
one more time. Hallelujah.
Trusting,
confiding in His great love.
From all I'm saved,
from all I'm saved,
in the shelter,
in the shelter, in the
Lord, living by faith,
I'm living by faith.
You know,
let me hear the sisters.
You know,
hallelujah, sisters.
Thank you.
Say it, oh, say it.
Hallelujah. Everybody now. Oh, hallelujah. I am
living by faith.
Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
Trusting
confide in His great love. Of a Christian. And this thing I'm telling you is what I practice. Yes, as a human being, when your expectations come contrary, you get frustrated. But I have an anchor that gets me out of it immediately. That settle it this way, it means this is not how God wants to do it. Because of it, I don't have so disappointment to the level that you will refuse to forgive someone. You are there attacking, you are attacking there. Till Jesus Christ will never forgive you. Then you are dying there. Your system are all crumbling because of anger and things like that, frustration. Then when you finish dealing with men, then you will turn to God and say, God, I'm not going to serve you again. I serve you all this while. What am I going to show for it? I don't serve you again. I don't go to church again. I don't pay my tithe again. Leave me alone, though. Now, because me and God, though. Now, me and God. Pastor, just leave me. Come out. Now, me and Him. You are having wrinkles and you don't know it. You stop that. I'm talking to the bride of Jesus. Now, can I see their hand up? Who am I talking with? Hallelujah. I never talk the thing I want to talk. We have reached a stage where if you are filthy, you remain filthy still. The Bible says so. Where a tree lean, that is where you will fall. Yes, now if you lean towards eternity, you will enter eternity. If you lean towards the world, you will follow the world and go. So we don't pass that level. Don't palm your hair. Don't wear earring. Don't pass that. The thing what I want to say is deeper than that. It's deeper than that. It is both for man and woman. It is for one that is preparing to go in the rapture.